and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the Q&A session, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Ann Evans. You may begin.
Thank you, Andrea. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ann Evans from the Connecticut office of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Thank you for joining the PPP update and Main Street Loan Program call today. Within the next couple of days, you will receive by email the recording of the call and email contacts at SBA and Treasury if you have questions. I would like to begin the call with our U.S. Department of Commerce Assistant Secretary for Global Markets, Ian Steff. Thank you, Ian, for joining us.
Well, thank you, Ann, and thanks for your great leadership in the field. A special welcome to our other interagency participants today, particularly from the Department of Treasury and the Small Business Administration. We look forward to hearing additional information on these important and timely programs for medium and small businesses, in particular for energy companies and the supply chain associated with them. A special welcome to the trade associations participating in the call. As Assistant Secretary for Global Markets at the U.S. Department of Commerce, I have the privilege of overseeing a staff of more than 1,400 individuals located in 70 markets around the world and approximately 100 U.S. cities. In these uncertain times, we are working with the SBA, Treasury, and our other interagency colleagues to reach out to as many small and medium-sized companies as we can to inform them of the opportunities and support programs that are available to them. Many of the companies on this call are indeed exporters who work with the International Trade Administration's U.S. Commercial Service time and again. And some of you are potential exporters who are looking to expand into these markets perhaps for the first time. Regardless if it's your first time exporting or whether it's your 100th time, we look forward to working with you. And now is a great time to work with us. We've offered fee reduction schedules as well that nearly 500 companies have taken advantage of since we've announced them. So please do check in with Ann if you're interested in learning about that. Our worldwide trade professionals focus on four pillars. Number one, trade and export promotion for U.S. companies. Two, advocacy on behalf of U.S. companies bidding on foreign government tenders. And for those of you in the energy sector, some of you are very frequent clients of the advocacy efforts as we engage with foreign governments looking to buy energy products. Third pillar, commercial diplomacy to remove trade barriers wherever you find them. And four, attracting inward-bound investment and retaining that investment as we see expansions happening throughout the U.S., and that is through our Select USA program. There are many ways to leverage our global network to get deals done, even when you may not be able to travel to a market. Our team is specializing in keeping people connected, even when we have to stay apart. Our teams have developed innovative and creative avenues to continue our activities on many virtual platforms, we just had a very successful one in the energy sector. I co-chair the U.S.-Japan energy dialogue, and many of you joined on for that effort. Whether, again, this is your first export sale or expanding your business to additional markets, we offer the experience and virtual services needed to grow your international sales of your U.S.-made products and services. To reach your local U.S. Export Assistance Center and explore some of our programs, please visit trade.gov. That's trade.gov. And let us work with you to take the initial steps to some of these global markets. I know this has been a challenging time for all of us, and we're continuously adapting to new realities and determining how to best maintain forward momentum. And certainly that is going to be an industry-driven solution as we continue with our recovery efforts. Together, we all need to continue to work to adopt policies that promote competitiveness, create jobs, and encourage investment. The International Trade Administration continues to be a willing and committed partner to the success, and we have been working with our partners at SBA and the Treasury Department to help ensure your businesses are on track to become even more competitive, more vibrant, and more prosperous. Today's call will include a discussion on the SBA Paycheck Protection Program with SBA, and to brief on the new exciting CARES Act Main Street program that will provide liquidity to SMEs will be Adam Larrick, our friend and counselor to the Secretary of Treasury. So we really look forward to continuing to engage. I also want to thank Scott Straw on the line as well from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Everywhere I'm hearing what incredible stories there are out there in the field, and I just want to congratulate many of you have successfully engaged with us, and we look forward to continuing to work alongside you as you compete to enter these new markets and navigate through the uncertain times with COVID-19. I will now hand it over to Scott, and look forward to hearing more about the programs. I will turn it over to Scott at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Actually, we're turning over to Steve, SBA first.
Great. Okay. Steve.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Ian, thank you and your great team at Commerce for the work you do. And as with all events, there's always someone who is the driving force to pull it all together and does all the legwork and hard work, and that's Ann Evans. So, Ann, I just want to thank you from all of us, everybody on the call, for the great work you did putting this together. It's deeply appreciated. So what I want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is a brief overview of the Paycheck Protection Program. Many of you, I'm sure, have already taken advantage of the program and are certainly aware of it. So we'll just go through a little bit of where it stands today and cover a little bit about what may be coming as well. So the program itself, it has to be considered an outstanding success by the really important measures out there. To date, we have made loans to over 5 million small businesses. We crossed the 5 million mark this past weekend, and that's for a total of $520 billion has been lent out. The average loan size, which is an interesting way to track this, it has been falling right since the very beginning when initially a lot of the bigger small companies got in and got their loans. We have watched that number trend downward really for the last 3 months. So the average loan size as it stands now is $103,000. And that's really good because what that tells us is that the loans are getting to the smallest businesses out there that really need it, that the American people want to see this money get to, Congress, the administration, everybody, the mom and pops, et cetera. So that's a good trend as well. And I also did want to thank all of our lenders, some of whom are on this call today. We couldn't do this. This is going to go down as one of the great public-private partnerships in our nation's history during this time of crisis. We have almost 5,500 lenders have signed up across the country to provide these PPP loans, and we couldn't be more thankful for their support as well. So the program itself is still open. We still have well over $100 billion in the fund available to lend out. The program will remain open till August 8th. President Trump signed an extension till then. And the forgiveness portal that SBA is setting up, that's going to open up on August 10th for all of the lenders. So for a lot of you who have gotten these loans, you're now focused on the forgiveness component of that. And back in early June, Congress and the administration made some important changes in the program with the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act. that took the program from an 8-week period to use the money out to 24 weeks. So from 2 months to 6 months, you now have to spend the money, the proceeds of those loans, in an appropriate manner. So that was a really big change, and a lot of companies breathed a sigh of relief when that did go through. And also, instead of having to spend 75% on payroll and benefits, that number was reduced to 60%. Again, providing more flexibility for our small businesses to meet their requirements, you know, on how to use the loan in the best way. So we have put out, along with the Department of the Treasury, new forgiveness guidance on our website, and also on the Treasury's website. So if you have any questions on forgiveness, you can go to SBA.gov or Treasury.gov and look that up. There's a lot of information, and you'll see the forgiveness information on there along with the application forms. We would also recommend you contact your lender, whoever you got the PPP loan from. Work with your lender. A lot of the lenders are already setting up their own portals to handle all the forgiveness applications that are going to be pouring in. So work with your lenders on that, and they should be your first line of defense in terms of getting some questions answered. Moving forward, I just very briefly want to touch base. I would urge everyone who is interested in the PPP and potentially another round of PPP, pay attention to what's going on in D.C. Congress and the administration, as part of the next COVID bill, are working to figure out how are we going to support our small businesses, and is PPP going to be a round two of that, going to be part of it? It looks like it is from what we've heard. There's been some draft legislation released. That could certainly change, but there is the possibility that once this legislation, if it does get signed, that if you have already received a PPP loan, you will be eligible to get a second loan, depending on what conditions Congress puts on the next round. We're hearing that instead of 500 employees and less as a small business cutoff, it's going to be 300 employees and less. And also, this time for a round two, there could be a revenue component whereby you have to show that your revenue on a quarterly basis, either a second quarter of 20 versus second quarter 19 or first quarter, either way, a comparable quarters, that your revenue has declined by at least 50%. So, and that could be in the eligibility requirements. We'll see if that does stay in there. I think that they're talking about capping the loans at $2 million instead of $10 million because they really are going to be focused on the smaller companies. And one good thing, too, is they are talking about a wider use of loan proceeds beyond the initial PPP, what you could just use the money for. One other thing I do want to throw out there, if there's any chambers of commerce or trade associations on the line, there is in the draft legislation now, there is provisions to allow 501c6 organizations to apply for PPP. They have been excluded to this point. So all this is pending approval by Congress. We'll see what changes they make. We're a long way from any of it right now. But I do urge you to just stay tuned, follow what's going on down there. And as soon as Treasury and the SBA have the direction from the administration and Congress, we will be looking to do our thing and get everything out there for our small businesses. So with that, I want to turn it over now to Adam Larick at Treasury to talk about the Main Street program. Adam.
Thank you very much. I thought I wasn't going to have to do very much today because I thought my colleague from the Federal Reserve was going to do all the work, but it looks like I'll have to do some. I'm Adam Larick. I'm counselor to the secretary here at the Treasury. That's my primary title. My title these days is chief loan officer of the Treasury Department in the Main Street program, where we try to help small and medium-sized companies obtain the financing they need to get through the COVID crisis. The Federal Reserve Bank of Boston has very detailed information about the Main Street program, and there's a presentation that they've prepared that is distributed to all the participants, which explains many of the aspects. I'd like to just sort of go through the basic principles and what the Main Street program is trying to do. The Main Street program is viewed as probably the most complex of the programs that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury have tried to put together to help the U.S. economy, because it's the first time the government has tried to come in and provide assistance to the small and medium-sized business segment of the economy and nonprofit organizations economy that typically do not borrow in the capital markets, do not borrow in syndicated loans, do not have bond ratings, but borrow directly from one or a very small number of banks, and that is their source of funding. The goal of the Main Street program is to provide financing to companies and nonprofit organizations that were in good financial condition prior to the crisis, but because of the crisis have suffered a significant fall in revenue, but that with some bridge financing can reach the other side of this crisis and prosper again. The goal is that these companies and nonprofits need some assistance, and what Main Street does is provides five-year loans at an interest rate of LIBOR plus 3% for a period where for the first year no interest is payable, it's capitalized, and principal is repaid starting at the end of year three, 15% in year three, 15% in year four, and 70% in year five. And you can tell that what we're trying to do is help these companies that were in sound financial condition, because the metrics to test for the soundness of the credit risk are based on 2019 pre-COVID numbers. They're based on in the case of for-profit companies, they're based on EBITDA, pre-2019 EBITDA, and their credit ratings, credit classifications at their banks at the end of 2019. Similarly, for nonprofits, they're also based on 2019 data. There are three facilities for businesses under the Main Street program. The first one is what we call the expanded loan facility, where in essence, Main Street comes in and becomes a part of an existing loan of the borrower and comes in with a term loan, which can be either part of a revolving credit, added to a revolving credit facility, or added as a separate tranche of another term loan. The two other facilities are the Main Street New Loan Facility, which has a maximum amount of $35 million, where Main Street will come in as a separate loan and where it can be an unsecured loan even if the borrower has secured debt. The other facilities, Main Street must share in the security of the other lenders. And then we have the priority facility, which is a maximum of $50 million, which again, there it would have to be Main Street would be pari passu, equal in both rank and security with and sharing the security and collateral of the existing lenders. The program is now operational. We had a comment period because no one had attempted this program. We actually put out indicative terms in April and then had a comment period where we received more than 3,500 comments. And I know there were 3,500 comments because I read them all. And then we adapted the program and changed some of the terms to make it obtain a wider borrower base. The program is operational as of the first week of July. We have started doing loans. There are banks in every state of the United States and all the territories that are doing Main Street loans and, in fact, will take new customers in case a company has a bank is not participating in the Main Street program. They can go to the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston website. There's an interactive map. They click on their state, and you'll see the banks that are taking new customers to participate in the Main Street loan. I think you can look at the website. You'll see there's certain certifications that need to be done, certain restrictions, certain conditions, But I think that is the big picture. And as was said at the very beginning by the Commerce Department and Ann and the SBA, we are happy to answer any questions you have. You can either address them directly to us. The Federal Reserve has a help desk, but we will attempt to make this as easy as possible. But one thing to keep in mind is, unlike PPP, Main Street is a lending program. It's not a grant program or a forgivable loan program, and the banks will have to do their credit evaluation of each one of the loans. I hope that was a fair summary, Ann, I'm happy to go to the next speaker, and we'll certainly take questions.
Okay. So, Scott, do you want to just do a quick review of the slide deck, if there's anything in there that Adam didn't cover?
Sure. Yeah. Let's thank you for inviting me to speak on the Main Street program. I think everybody has the slide deck. I'll try and Adam hit several of the points. I'll try and fill in a few of the pieces that maybe we might still want to touch on. So beginning on slide two, we'll go over an overview. I think Adam provided a good overview, and then we'll touch a little bit on terms and conditions and about how to get started, and then we'll take a couple of questions. So if we turn to slide three, as Adam said, the COVID-19 pandemic created a concern about availability of credit. This vehicle is aimed at trying to get that credit where it's needed. There's been, disruptions in economic activity because of the pandemic. And what the Main Street program does is, first, it shares risks that would otherwise be absorbed solely by the banking system or the lenders. And secondly, in consequence with this, it creates additional balance sheet capacity. So we're taking 95% of the loan. That creates more capacity for them to generate loans for this program or generate loans for, their own portfolio. If we turn to slide four provides a schematic that might be a helpful kind of reference tool for everybody on the program. And it includes borrowers, lenders, and the Federal Reserve's, the SPV, that interact in the program. Beginning from the left, you can see that a borrower applies directly with the eligible lender for the MSLP, or the Main Street Lending Program, for the loan. They work together to find a suitable loan that meets the terms and of the program and meets the needs of the borrower. If the eligible lender approves the loan, it submits the loan participation information to the Federal Reserve SPV for purchase. SPV purchases 95% of the loan, carries 95% of the risk of that loan, and as you can see, that the MSLP is authorized up to $600 billion, and it's funded by $75 billion in U.S. Treasury equity through the CARES Act. Maybe now if we turn to slide five. Slide five touches on eligible loans, and the MSLP operates through five facilities, as Adam touched on. Three facilities for business and two for nonprofit organizations. Each has different features and has been designed to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses and nonprofits. With different minimums and maximums. And on slides six and seven, you'll get a little better flavor for that. So if you turn to slide six, this table provides a nice summary of the similarities and differences between each of the facilities for businesses. So the for-profits are on slide six here. And as Adam said, there's three of these facilities, the new loan facility, priority loan facility, and expanded loan facilities. And you can see the various terms and conditions and distinguishing features. As Adam said, all are 5-year terms, I think we originally started out at 4, but as Adam said, we got a lot of feedback and pushed that out to 5. They have 1 or 3 month LIBOR plus 300 basis points is the interest rate. Principal is deferred for 2 years. Interest is deferred for 1 year. And as we said, the SPV purchases 95% participating interest. So those are across each of the facilities. Some of the uniquenesses that I'd point out is looking at the loan size. The new loan facility has a minimum of $250,000 and a maximum of $35 million. The priority loan facility has a minimum of $250,000, maximum of $50. Another nuance to the priority loan is that the proceeds can be used to refinance existing debt that is outstanding and owed to lenders other than the eligible lender. So you can refinance from another lender through this vehicle. And the expanded loan facility allows, as Adam touched on, eligible lenders to increase the size of an existing loan that they have with the borrower through a new tranche. The expanded facility has a minimum and maximum of $10 million and $300 million, given that these syndicated deals are typically larger deals. And then there are leverage requirements. And under the new loan facility, the ratio of a borrower's outstanding debt cannot exceed four times its 2019 adjusted EBITDA. And this ratio is 6 times for the priority and expanded loan facility. I'd also mention here, as Adam said, that given the unique features, there's different collateral requirements, and these are detailed in the FAQs. And I've got the references on the last slide to our frequently asked questions. So if we turn to slide seven is a similar layout for the nonprofit organizations. And you'll see a lot of the similarities that correspond with the facilities of businesses. Again, 5-year term, 1 or 3 month LIBOR plus 300 basis points, deferred principal and interest, same as minimum in the MSLP. Important differences, of course, the one worth highlighting is that the maximum loan size is a function of quarterly revenues as opposed to debt to EBITDA. And so now if we move to slide 8, I'll just touch at a high level on eligible lenders. So here's the list of eligible lenders. We tried to make it fairly broad. And as Adam said, we have had pretty good success in getting lenders to sign up and register in the program, and they continue to register as they've been able to digest this program over the last several weeks and put it and operationalize it themselves, as we have been trying to operationalize this. But on our website, there's a list of those that have made themselves publicly known as participating, and there's a couple hundred beyond that are registered as well. So I would certainly encourage everyone to talk to the lenders that they work with. Sometimes we get lenders that haven't registered because they haven't heard interest yet. And so speaking with them may kind of draw them out to see that opportunity and need. And I don't know if Adam mentioned it, but we do have participating registered lenders in all 50 states now. If we want to turn to slide nine touches on eligible borrowers and the requirements on who can borrow under the facility. And let me just highlight a few requirements, beginning with the facilities for businesses. So the businesses must be created or organized in the United States under the laws of the United States with significant operations and a majority of its employees based in the United States. The businesses must have up to 15,000 employees, or up to $5 billion in 2019 annual revenues. Turning to the second column is for nonprofit organizations. An eligible borrower must be a U.S. tax-exempt nonprofit or a veterans organization in uninterrupted operation since January 1, 2015. Also, there are employee and revenue requirements. The organization must have at least 10 employees and an endowment less than $3 billion. So now if we move to the next slide, slide 10 and 11, we will discuss that borrowers are required to complete certain covenants and certifications. The program is born out of the CARES Act, and so some of these covenants and certifications marry up with those requirements. So some of these covenants are highlighted here, and including that the borrower may participate in only one MSLP facility and may not also participate in the primary market corporate credit facility or the municipal liquidity facility. Borrowers that receive PPP or EIDL loans may participate in the MSLP, assuming that they meet the eligibility requirements. On slide 11, there are some prohibitions. The MSLP's goal is to provide funding, as Adam said, bridge funding or incremental funding to those in need, to those businesses, nonprofits in need. So there are certain certifications, again, simply paying down existing debt. If we're trying to get out incremental funding, we don't want this to just become a refinancing vehicle. So there are constraints on that. Though borrowers can make payments that are mandatory and due and normal course of business usage on lines of credit. Again, more details on that are in our FAQs online. And there are CARES Act restrictions on compensation, capital distributions, equity repurchases. And so if we move to slide 12 provides an overview of getting started. And interested businesses and organizations should start by reviewing the program requirements and contacting a lender to discuss applying for a Main Street loan that meets their needs. So I would definitely stress, you know, this program, while we tried to roll it out to meet small and medium-sized businesses, because of the range of businesses that we've tried to cover in this program, because of the breadth of activities that they do and lending and both business activities and lending activities, this program is fairly complex and unique for both borrowers and lenders. So, you know, getting to know the documentation and reading through that and understanding these can help a borrower communicate with the bank and with the lender and find the solutions that they need. Borrowers must complete the program documentation as well as the lender's loan documentation. Lenders will apply their own underwriting standards and determine whether the borrowers are approved for the Main Street loan. I'd say, importantly, eligible lenders should recognize the uncertainty in today's economy, and eligible lenders are encouraged to work with borrowers affected by the pandemic. And then the lenders will submit the participation to the special purpose vehicle for purchase of the participation. And now I'll just quickly turn to slide 13 before we take a couple of questions. And slide 13 is a collection of additional helpful resources that you may benefit from. So the for-profit business program information forms, FAQs, other recorded sessions like this, we've had several Ask the Fed sessions, are located on the Main Street Lending Program website at bostonfed.org/MSLP. And the nonprofit term sheets have as well been publicly released and are located on the Main Street Lending Program website as well. And I think this slide says that the FAQs haven't been published, but the first wave of the FAQs has been published for nonprofits, and you'll find those quite helpful. New waves of FAQs will be published in coming days. Going forward, what we are trying to do as this program kind of lives and breathes is take feedback from what we hear from borrowers and lenders and clarify that additional FAQs. So you will see those be posted on a certain cadence. And there's a reference there, the MSLP at bos.frb.org is a helpful mailbox that you can submit questions to, and we will answer those questions and hopefully help you migrate through the program. And I guess I'll just end there. I think we have a few questions that you wanted to ask on the program, so I'll turn it over to the questions.
Okay, Scott, great job on that. Well done and really informative. So thank you, Scott and Adam, for that detailed breakdown of the MSLP. So I'd next like to introduce Renee Laney. She is the Director of Regulatory Affairs at the American Public Gas Association, and she has a couple of questions. Renee.
Thanks so much. As noted, I'm with the American Public Gas Association, or APGA. We're the trade association for the roughly 1,000 public gas utilities across the country, and those are the ones that are municipally owned and other public agencies that provide localities with natural gas. And so pretty much like everyone else in the energy industry, our members have really felt the impact of COVID-19, so programs like this that's really looking to provide solutions, we couldn't be more appreciative. So two hopefully quick questions. The first one is, I noticed that participation in the Municipal Liquidity Facility Program disqualifies participation in Main Street lending. Why is that, and has there been any discussions to reconsider that?
Adam, do you want me to start, and do you want to fill in, or?
I think it's an easy question. Why don't you go ahead, Scott?
Well, I was going to point to, I think, the most salient reason that we set up certain programs with various target sectors and targeted certain sized entities. I'm sure a concern was that allowing larger entities, those larger entities that have these market facilities, market issuance facilities and other emergency facilities, to access this facility is, I guess, a little unfair to have both of those avenues and use up some of the capacity that is geared towards these smaller and medium-sized entities. And those with market access into these facilities would be on the larger side, so they could conceivably use up a fair amount of that capacity. I mean, to your consideration going forward, I think, we're certainly looking to improve the program, make sure that we use the funds that we have available to us. So I think, we're constantly considering different avenues for the program. But those are kind of the high points I would hit. Adam, feel free to add or contrast.
One thing, it's not unique to the municipal facility. In essence, no borrower, except for the PPP, but among the 13-3 programs that are run by the Federal Reserve, a borrower cannot participate in more than one facility. If you participate in the primary corporate credit facility, you're not allowed to borrow from Main Street. If you borrow from Main Street, you're not allowed to participate in the primary corporate credit facility. Within Main Street itself, you can only borrow from one facility. So this is not unique to the municipal area. It is across all facilities and programs.
That's extremely helpful. Thank you so much for that clarification. And then my other question is a similar clarification. I was just curious why there was the third type of loans for for-profit businesses. So basically, why are priority loans only offered for the for-profit businesses as opposed to the nonprofits?
Scott, do you want to take that one, or what would you like to do?
Sure, I can start. You can see if there's anything I didn't touch on. So in the for-profit Main Street, new loan and priority loan facilities are distinguished by the different leverage requirements and different security requirements. And the priority facility does allow for that refinancing. In nonprofit Main Street, the loan size is governed by revenue rather than leverage, so it's a little different mechanics on that count that kind of add a differentiating piece. But furthermore, at least in our initial view, I think it was that nonprofits do not tend to have large amounts of existing loans that would be the refinance that would be what would be refinanced. So there really wasn't quite as much of a need. They tapped the markets more so than with longer term debt issuance, more so than where small businesses do most of their activity through lending. So I think that was one of the distinguishing factors that policymakers looked at. Adam, did you have anything else?
No, I think that's right. I mean, the Fed in particular did a tremendous amount of outreach both to lenders and to borrowers. We did the same at Treasury, and we just did not find that there was demand among the nonprofit organizations for the priority loan product. And I think, if it turns up, if a large number of borrowers come and say they'd like to do that, then we can revisit that and maybe issue another facility. But we just didn't see the demand in the nonprofit sector.
Great. Thank you so much. That's all the questions I have. This has been really helpful. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Renee. Now I got next question. This will go to you, Adam. But before I ask it, I did want to correct an oversight. I was thanking our for the PPP, thanking our lending partners. I neglected to thank our program partners, which was the Department of the Treasury. Treasury and SBA have been working hand in glove on the PPP, so I just wanted to make sure everybody heard that. We are so thankful for the support of Treasury here at SBA. So Adam, the question I have here is, as we just heard from Renee, there's a number of trade associations representing thousands of companies in the energy sector. How can they, as industry leaders in their states, encourage our local bankers to give greater participation in the program?
Right, call your congressman. No, I think and I'm only being half joking. I think the way, first of all, there are a large number of banks that are continuing to evaluate the program and understand how the mechanics work and are going through the process. I think the best way to do it, there are two ways. One is they should go to their banks and say, we have interest in these loans. I mean, banks are in business. If they see a demand for a product, they will service it. So I think that's the first step. I think we found that many banks are waiting to see if there's demand. If they find there's demand, they will then enroll in the Main Street program and participate. And if any borrower or trade association their members have trouble finding lenders, they should certainly contact the Fed, contact us. There is the interactive website. There are going to be more banks that will the ones on the website are banks that are taking on new loans or new customers, providing Main Street loans to new customers, and that have allowed their names to be published. There are quite a few other banks that are taking on new loans but have not released their names, but there will be more of them as they become more familiar with the mechanism that will join that group of lenders that will take new loans. But I think the best way is to go to your bank and say you would like to do a Main Street loan, and the bank should respond. They're in business to make money.
All right. Sounds good. All right, we have a final question. This one from a banker for Adam and Scott. There's a lot of different programs to figure out in the Main Street program. How do I determine which one works best for a specific business?
Scott, you want to go first? Would you like me to go first?
You can go first, Adam.
Okay. For business, there are three products. If I were a banker, I'd look first, do I have an existing loan to this client that I would be willing to increase, in essence, add on to, which would be an expanded loan, and where I will be willing to share my collateral with them if the loan is secured. So the first question a banker should ask himself is this a borrower where I have an existing loan that can be upsized? In which case, if that's true, you can use the expanded loan facility. The second question is the loan I have, or how I would be willing to lend to this borrower, is existing debt secured? If the borrower has secured debt, then under both the expanded loan facility and the priority loan facility, the borrower and the bank must be willing to share that security, that collateral, with Main Street. That's the second test. The third test, and if the answer to that is no, then the next question is, then you have the new loan facility where a borrower can obtain an unsecured loan even if they have pledged their security to the bank or to another lender. That's sort of the first determining factor. The second set of determining factors are the leverage ratios. If you have a leverage ratio of higher than 4x debt to EBITDA, then you do not qualify for the new loan facility, and you would have to go, if it's between 4 and 6x, you would have to look at either the priority loan facility or the expanded loan facility. But otherwise, the terms of the loans themselves are virtually identical. In fact, are identical in terms of payment terms, the same interest rate, same amortization, and same capitalization period, deferred periods. So it's basically determined by the collateral requirements, and also the leverage requirements.
Yes, and I just point out that those unique qualities, we've tried to really break that out and spell that out in the FAQs. So just familiarizing with those FAQs that cover those three programs will be helpful in providing kind of an orientation.
I have to say, looking at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston website can seem daunting because there's a lot of information there. But what we've tried to do is just respond to every question that we've received. And that makes it look much more frightening than it actually is. The three facilities, if you look at them carefully, should be able to be understood quite easily.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. That's going to do it for the questions. So I do want to just wrap this up now. So Ann Evans will be sending everyone on the call out the link to this recorded program, along with contact emails for both Treasury and SBA if you have additional questions on the Main Street program or PPP or anything else with our agencies. So that is going to do it. So on behalf of our partners at Commerce, Treasury, and the Federal Reserve, and SBA, of course, we want to thank everybody for their participation today. We look forward to serving you to get through this pandemic as best we can by all working together. And again, if there's any questions that you have, you will be getting contact information, and we'll be happy to answer those moving forward. So otherwise, everyone have a great day and best of luck out there. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you so much for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.